You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of The World's Team on the Blogging the Boys Network in partnership with SB Nation. My name is Meg Murray, and I am joined by Paul Stewart. How's it going over there, Paul?
Not too bad. It is clammy as anything back in Scotland, and I'm struggling to sleep, so bear with me, because I am, literally, my eyeballs are gouging right now.
What? Is it, like, hot over there? Is that what you're saying?
It's very humid right now. Like, it's, like, we're getting that little bit of sunshine and a little bit of heat, but within the next 12 hours, it's been raining, and that with that, it's like really warm air that you cannot sleep. It's like you're breathing in warm air. It's just horrible.
Ugh.
Yeah.
The 100 degree weather over here was bad.
Yeah, I'd rather be in the more dry heat with an aircon rather than being here.
It's rough, man. It's 100 degrees yesterday. And I was sitting outside and I was like, I think we got about 30 minutes in, and I was like, I cannot be out here any longer. Like, I have got to go somewhere else. Like, get me out of here.
I'll literally be like, just getting all my suntan lotion up, and they'll be like, I'll be screaming to the sun. I was like, I'll do your worst.
Hey, you switch places with me any day. So what did you guys talk about last week? I had to miss, unfortunately. You took over.
Yeah, so we heard our Lauren come onto the show. We were kind of just
Lauren.
Yeah, so we did say to him next time we'll definitely get him on board when you're on as well. So,
yeah, that'd be fun.
So God, what did we talk about actually? Bear with me. I'm trying to recap. Yeah, so we talked about McCarthy getting hit with a fine. I talked about the comments that Zeke and McCarthy's comments on Ezekiel Elliott, him being in the best condition of his life. And we also talked about Jerry's deflection on the Jimmy Johnson situation, which was RJ's article. So we covered quite a bit in that and just kind of finished a full-on discussion about that. And Nate Newton also being straight into the BCF Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, so we talked about last week.
Yeah, so we managed to do a nice wee bit of coverage. It's like not main headlines news, but it's nice to kind of cover on it and kind of show a nice bit of appreciation, because everyone loves by Nate Newton and stuff like that. So
yeah,
so that was really nice to see that he's been enshrined into the BCF Hall of Fame and that. And but yeah, it's it was a good wee episode, but you were sorely missed, my dear.
Well, I'm glad to be back.
Saying that, how was the Rapids?
Oh, the Rapids.
Lazy River, sorry.
I went floating on the river, and it was lovely. It was very hot, but being in the river kind of cooled us off a bit. It was very relaxing. We went twice. We were out there for quite a while, got lots of sun. So,
I'm proper jealous right now.
I needed a little vacay from Dallas, so it was perfect.
Well, that being said, in August, and this is more of a heads up for yourself and for the listeners, listen, I will be coming in for one of the episodes, but I'll be broadcasting from Greece. So
I was gonna say, where are you going?
Yeah, so I'll be taking my microphone, my laptop with me, and I'll be. But so rather than being 6 hours difference, it'll be 8 hours difference. So we'll need to kind of figure out how we're going to work out the logistics of this. So
make it work. We can do it before you go have like a lovely dinner or something.
Aww.
Where in Greece are you going?
The Thessaloniki, I think that's how you pronounce it, but it's where Mount Olympus is. So I'm going there for a wedding. My friend from high school is getting married, so his fiance is from Greece. They've got a kid together, and I'm going there for a week. Then once after that, it's just a couple of months, then I'll be back in Dallas for December.
Dude, this year is flying by.
It literally feels like last month was November. It was like, literally, I feel like I was having that conversation with you back in New Orleans and stuff. I do not remember. February, I do not remember, et cetera, et cetera. The only month I kind of vaguely remember is obviously my birthday, which is this month. So I'm just everything else prior to that, before that in Dallas, it's just like time has just swept by. It's crazy.
It really is. And like, before we know it, we'll be in training camp and then the season's starting. So
I thought you were going to say something else. I thought before you know it, we're going to be walking about in summer frames and wheelchairs.
Okay, so there's a few things I wanted to pick your brain about.
Awesome.
So it came out that the Cowboys were the most penalized team last year. A badge of honor on all of us.
Yeah, go team.
So they, I guess they decided to do something about it. So along with, the normal crews out there, they have beefed up their officiating crews and they're throwing flags at practice.
Yep. Which I am 100% all on board for that. Like, get different referees in. They might see things differently. They might see a holding call a bit more differently. They may be a bit more harsh. They might be a bit more critique. But as long as it gets the message to like our offensive line to stop making these errors, I am 100% on board with that. Because Mike and Graham and that, we were kind of talking about that on Thursday on the UK Cowboys show. And every single one of us unanimously was in favor of this. Like, this can only be a positive. So yeah, if it stops us from making these crucial mistakes, like especially when it comes to a big play, like you've just thrown a 40-yard pass down to Gallup or down to Lamb and stuff, and the next thing you know, you're getting called back 10 yards for a holding call. It can be so frustrating, and yeah. that seemed to be the most, like, we were making these great plays, but we just weren't putting points on the board because we were just making these silly novice mistakes from holding goals for primarily, or jumping offside.
Yeah, it's hard to get into any sort of rhythm when you are just constantly shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
I love to hear that they're doing this. Like, I'm surprised this is the first time I've heard of something like this being done at practices. I'd love to know whose idea it was.
I mean, I think the reason why not many teams tend to do it as often because obviously they need to pay out their own pocket for these officials to come over and stuff like that. They think it's more expenses and stuff like that. But
Gary can handle that.
Yeah. I mean, when you've got all the money in the world, pretty much, essentially, one of the richest men in the world out there, yep, pretty much. I'm sure a couple of $100,000 for like a couple of weeks for a couple extra officials is not going to do any harm at all. If not, it's going to benefit the team so much beneficially.
Yeah, I mean, something has to be done. It was like there was three like games where it absolutely decided the outcome for us, and obviously not in our favor. Vegas sticks out. San Francisco. So,
yeah, San Francisco, and in fairness, that was, I would say, it's still one of our best games as the offensive line, but especially from one person in particular, and that was Tyre Biadasz. That was probably one of his best games in the Cowboys jersey, and I thought he was going to be the weakest link, but the rest of the line just kind of like fell apart during that game. But yeah, but in terms of the Raiders game, that was probably one of the, like, don't get me wrong, it was great being there in person, get to see, hang about with yourself and that, but the actual game itself, it was just so frustrating. So frustrating, like, because we were moving the ball well during that game. I thought, like, despite the, like, Schultz was now really playing that game, we had to rely on Sean McCune in that game. Mm-hmm. I think, I'm trying to remember, there was one other injury that was fundamental for us on our offense. I can't remember who it was, but we still managed to keep the ball moving. But again, penalties killed us, absolutely killed us.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, like, how this ends up, like, affecting them. I hope, you know, I would love to not be the most penalized team. Maybe, you know, the fifth most penalized team.
If we can get into
better, like, than dead last.
Yeah, like, if we're still penalized and we want to try and make sure we're nowhere at the halfway point, we want to be in the lower half of the NFL. We don't want to be in that top half, regardless.
Yeah, like, I think that's going to be the telltale sign if this worked or not.
Yeah, I think that should be the target, like, for the offensive line, is to try and, like, get outside of the top 10 most penalized. Like, even that would be a win. At least it shows there's progression within the coaching as well. And that's been one of the big criticisms has been Joe Philbin, how he's been coaching the offensive line.
Yeah.
But, like, so it'd be very interesting to see what he does this season, what approach he's going to take on, and see if we're going to reap the benefits of having these extra officials coming on board.
So do you feel like you're going to have your eyes on, like, the O-line as far as, you know, penalties go?
O-line and defensive line, that's my bread and butter. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I get really excited when we score a touchdown or we get an interception, or, like, but when it's a sack or from the defensive line or a tackle for loss from the defensive line, but if it's from the offensive line, if we can actually put defensive linemen push back 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, putting them on the back sides, pancake them and whatever, that makes me happy. Like, and also just making crucial blocks, it's just a sweet science of how you play that position. And people just think, oh, you just need to be big and strong and whatever, and that is, no, it's far beyond that. Like, any offensive lineman out there who plays will tell you a whole different thing. It's like, they just think that for someone that doesn't normally watch football, they just think it's just guys that's just standing there and making the blocks, just be big and tough. No, it's completely different. You need to be athletic, strong, have a really clear mind of what your assignment is, who you're blocking, where to position yourself for that block, everything. And, like, how long do you need to let go? It depends on what the type of play is. Do you might need to move up to the backfield, move on to the linebackers, block them for if it's the running, if you're running the ball. There's so many different factors that you need to process when you're being an offensive lineman.
Oh, yeah. I always look to you for that, because, I mean, I can catch the big picture, but I think the micro level is, like, where you thrive. So,
oh man, even though I was nowhere playing the level of, like, some of these guys played, like, but it gives you a taster of what could be the pro level. Like, I mean, I only played, like, amateur level, like, here in the UK, and we actually had some college teams from Division 3 to come over and play us over the years. And these guys may have been, like, even though I was bigger, I was definitely more physically stronger than their offensive lineman guys, but their technique was the big difference. They were in the right position. They were, like, sink their hips low. They know where I was going and just locked me out when I was playing defensive line at the time. And that, to me, just shows you it's all down to how they're being coached, all these type of factors as well. And this was from a Division 3 team. Now, when you take that in perspective, Division 2, much better coaching, much more better facilities to work on these things than even Division 1 college teams. But then you go to the pros when you've got everything available for you, the weight room, the physiotherapy, you've got everything there you to be the best of the best. And that, to, for me, playing at the lowest levels, to think what it could be like in the pros, it's just so, it blows my mind. Like, and this is where, this is what really frustrates me. It's like, how can, in the pro levels, you could be making so many mistakes like this?
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Exactly. It's honestly unacceptable. So, and I know we have both been pretty harsh critics of Philbin. So, you know, hey, whatever you have to do to stop making crappy mistakes like that, that cost us games, I'm here for it.
Absolutely.
But also something I found interesting this week is I feel like I keep hearing about PFF, like, ratings on, like, you know, every single, you know, corner of this team. But this week, they said that Kellen Moore has one of the least unique offensive schemes in the NFL.
Least unique.
Yes. Now, I mean, that's not... You don't have to be unique to be successful, but, you know, as someone who was lauded as like a great offensive mind that was coming up with all these unique ways to get the ball out of Dak's hand.
Didn't they not post another like infographic of the top three offensive coordinate, like offensive minds? And number one was obviously Andy Reid. Number two was Kellen Moore. But, and everyone's kind of saying, I don't like PFF does provide some good stats on certain things that you might be interested in, but the general consensus is it's like it's not consistent. They say one thing, then the next day they say the complete over and contradicts themselves.
Yeah.
So I don't personally, for me, I try not to rely on PFF at all. I try and make my own assumption on things. Because I like to see things for like myself and game my, like, okay, like, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's PFS is just that.
I don't know. You might have kind of a point after, you know, this last showing.
I get that.
Less creative this last year. So, you know what, if this can be some bulletin board material for him to get weird.
I mean,
I'm with that.
I mean, I get that. I mean, I know Kellen is a creative guy, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
But if the players on the field are not executing the simplest plays, then why move on to the more creative ones that they cannot execute the more simple ones? That's the way I kind of interpret it. Because he'll be like, it's like, okay, we can't do any of these special plays until you guys get the basics done right. And that seemed like, even though we might have been the highest scoring offense, or one of these highest scoring offenses in the NFL, but it was still frustrating to watch our offense, even though we were putting points on the board, even though but it could have been so much better. It could have been like, with all the tools that we had and everything that was in place, it could have been one of the most recognizable, it could have been one of the most recognizable offenses in NFL era. It could have been, but sadly it didn't.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you're right. There's a lot of factors that go into that. I think we've kind of, you know, touched on that a bit. You know, Dak was definitely not 100%, although he was saying that he was. He's late, obviously later backtracked on that.
Yeah, we're now getting the reports of that now that Dak's looking in great shape and stuff like that. And this kind of goes back to Mike McCarthy's comments about Zeke saying it looks like he's in the best shape of his life. And again, I'm at that point now, and I don't know how you feel about this. It's like, I do not want to be suckered into these headlines. I don't want to be sold on these empty promises.
Here's the thing, though. They do love to talk and like to draw us back in. They love to sell us a can of goods about how, you know, Dorrance Armstrong is going to be better than Randy Gregory and whatever. And they can say that until they're blue in the face. But I don't think I've ever heard so many headlines about the guys like taking like the next steps in their like in their fitness and, you know, being in the best shape of their lives. Like, we haven't heard that. So,
well, we have heard that about DeMarcus Lawrence. He looks in great condition right now. Like, I have to admit, he's definitely trimmed down. There could be a lot of benefit for him losing the weight. It's because it could be the fact that he doesn't want to get as many injuries. That's definitely something that our very good friend Dave Hellerman spoke about. He spoke that to Mike on UK Cowboys about that, and saying, well, one of the big reasons for maybe losing the weight is to prevent these injuries a lot more, be a little more lighter on your feet, but you still have that power. So, I don't even know where I was going with that in the end there.
Yeah, I mean, I was just kind of saying, you know, that it's kind of one of the first off seasons where that has been, it seems that that has been a focus. So I don't love to like read too much into, you know, what they try to sell me about we love our guys trademark, but it does make me feel a lot better about, you know, just the state of the team if they are all, you know, taking this super seriously and they're in the best shape of their lives. Like, I don't think they're lying to me when they say that, because you can like visibly see like how trim these guys have gotten and how strong they look. So that I will listen to.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah. But it remains to see if Kellen's mind is in the best shape of its life. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think for this season, he's going to have a lot more pressure. It'd be interesting to see as well. I still have faith in Kellen Moore. I do have faith in him. Mm-hmm. Like, there has been moments where he has brought up some stroke of genius plays out there, out the blue. But again, it kind of goes back down to the consistency. And again, it could be more down to the actual players not executing what they should be doing and just go back to try and execute the base play more than anything. So if they can start executing more well as a team. But then again, this kind of goes back to the whole narratives. Like, if that's us like executing badly and we still became one of the top offenses in the NFL last season, just imagine when we actually are executing 100%. That's scary to think.
And like we gave this line so many times last year. It was like, well, they could go to this guy or they could go to this guy. I mean, even with Coop gone, you can still say like, you do have that weapon. You can like go to CD. You can hit up Gallup. You can hit Tony, hit Zeke. You can be dynamic. So it'll just be a matter of, you know, Dak staying at 100% and getting his confidence back and Kellen being able to put his foot on the gas. So we'll see how all that shapes up.
Yeah. I'm just kind of wondering, like, so just a wee different topic here, right? So, you know how the New Orleans Saints posted on social media about the alternative helmet they posted up? Like, they're bringing out the all-black helmet?
Yeah.
Like, so now the Patriots are coming out. They're having the all-white helmet, that white helmet with the old logo on it. Like, I would love to see Dallas have a different variation, like the all-white helmet with the blue star rather than the silver helmet. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just, like, I loved it. Like, Chris, I'd love to have that alternate, like, see, like, the color rush jerseys that we had. Can you imagine that if that helmet was all white? That would look so sick.
You didn't like the red stripe they put on last year? That was different.
I liked it, but...
I
know. You know what I mean?
One of those things, they're so steeped in tradition, and which is a good thing, but when it comes to, you know, getting fancy, getting, like, something cool, it's just not their MO.
Yeah, I mean, well, they did that with the color rush jerseys. That was, like, really nice. But yeah. I was one of the first people to, when I saw that, I was like, I need to get myself one of those. So I ended up getting my Jason Witten one of that.
The thing with their color rushes, and you could say that about a couple different teams, honestly. It's that, like, I feel like they just pull from the past, which is not a huge
issue. It's not a bad thing.
It's not, like, super creative or whatever. And it's just, like, I would love to see them do something, something new.
Yeah.
So I would be all in for that.
Here's a question. Who would you say is probably the most creative of their jerseys in the NFL?
It's a good question.
Over the course of, like, see it, like, over the course of the past 10 years.
There's, like, 30, I'm running through, like, 32 teams in my head. It's definitely not, I feel like Pittsburgh has done, like, weird stuff, but it's pulling from the past too. So it's like,
yeah. So for me, it would have to be the Bucks, because they went for the whole arena football style football jersey. Then it went back to the proper traditional, but also before that they had the more, like, it's kind of modern with a jersey number style, all that type of stuff. But so they've went through different styles altogether. So for me, like, I just wish we kind of had something like that. Like, and plus, not to kind of throw an idea to Jerry, like, I've done that before, making, like, a Waddles team t-shirt, but it's like, fans will buy it. Fans will buy it regardless of tradition.
100%. I think another team that I just thought of was, like, the Rams. They do a lot of like gradients and, like, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, they've become very creative since they've moved to LA. Like, before that, it was just very stalemate, same color scheme, nothing really changed. But now they're kind of mixing up their blues and yellows and stuff like that. So they're quite creative for sure.
Yeah. I'm just so used to, like, one of my college teams, other than, you know, obviously I'm an LSU fan, but I grew up a Husker fan, and, like, they are very much the same way, where they don't make a lot of changes. And so they did, like, different pants one year. It was, like, I think they were black, and that was crazy.
So everyone's like, the black pants.
They don't change anything. And so I'm just, and neither do the Cowboys. So I'm just kind of used to that. And I'm like, I would love to see them get creative. So,
yeah.
If you were going to design an alternative helmet, what would it
look like? If it was me, it'd be like something like very Star Wars-esque, all black, but with the blue star.
Okay. And then what are they wearing?
Black jersey with blue numbers.
They could really lean into the Death Star with that, because everyone calls AT&T the Death Star.
Yeah, so black pants with a bit of blue pinstripe and black socks, like all black color alternative.
That could be fresh.
Yes, and something like, and because I don't know if you might remember years ago, like they had, like, I don't know if this was a proper legit jersey, but you know, you get the salute to service jerseys and stuff like that out there. There was like an alternative one where every team had a black jersey with gray numbers. I've got the Emmitt Smith one. Mm-hmm. And as like, man, that would be an amazing jersey that you would actually have the star on the side of your arm.
Yes.
And on the other side, it would be your jersey number on the other side as well. And it looked really nice. I'll see if I may actually bring that to Dallas with me in December and I'll show you. Yeah. But it's probably still bloody massive for me. It was like a 3XL when I bought it.
Dang.
I like my stuff baggy, to be fair.
Oh, same. I do too. My jerseys are all huge. And like, I could very well wear like a medium or whatever. I have like XL jerseys.
That's good to know, because I've got something I'm bringing over for you. So good to know. Yeah.
Yeah, I wear like XL everything, honestly, these days. But I mean, now I'm excited. I'm getting a present. So that's exciting.
Of course. Absolutely.
And you might be getting a taco dinner with margaritas if we
beat my bet. Yeah, the Bucks game. I'm telling you, I'm going, but I'm still going by it. Week one, we need to stop Brady. Like, I am not accepting a loss in AT&T Stadium on opening day for the season. No way.
I'm not so sure I'm going to accept it, but I might have to. I did find out though that I am going to that game. With a friend of mine who is a Bucks fan, so that'll be interesting.
Wow.
He's a Tampa Bay fan though. He's not like a Patriots turned.
He's not a turncoat glory hunter. Right. Fair enough. Like, so he's a proper Bucks fan.
Yes. Well,
credit to him. Credit to him. So, yeah. Like when I was literally looking online for prices for games and stuff like that, I did originally want to go to the home opener game of the year.
Yeah.
But until I saw the ticket prices, and I'm just like,
they weren't so crazy.
Oh, the ones I was wanting.
Tampa, like last year.
Yeah, but because it's in Dallas.
Yeah. It's the prices went up. Everyone wants to see Tom Brady. He came back for another year. Like, we didn't.
Yeah. I was just like, geez, oh, like yeah. the cheapest one I thought I could probably get was like near enough $900. And that was like up the far back. Like, so, like, so the sections that you sit in, they were going for like nearly like $1,500 a ticket.
I know. That's what I was like. My tip to anyone going to NFL games is wait till like right before. Like, people are able to sell them like this right now because there's so much hype and like everyone wants football back. When it gets closer to that, people are gonna be like, oh, I'm not gonna be in town, or oh, I can't do this.
Yeah.
It's like they offload those tickets and they'll take cheaper because, I mean, they don't have enough time to wait. So that's how I always get mine. And like, that was the thing last year, is I kept telling my buddy when we went to the Tampa game, I was like, I don't think we need to buy them right now, whatever. He ended up buying them. They were like 300 something. One of my friends that was with us bought the same day as the game was being played.
Yeah.
Half price. He was sitting in the same section for 150. And I was like,
oh man,
you could just don't panic buy, like trust the process.
Yeah, that seems to be a lot. Like, it's just because that just shows you the love for football. People are just willing to like try and grab the tickets when they can, and not.
Yeah.
But don't take any of those factors where, like say for example, like the Saints game that I went to, I bought four tickets for about $400.
Oh my gosh, we had tickets that we bought them months in advance. Well, my buddy bought them months in advance, and I was like, sure, let's do it. The day of, we got better seats for $70 each. I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
They were also bad. So yeah. There's that.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it's a nice stadium in New Orleans, but it's my God, it's not.
You're being too nice to them. It's not a good stadium.
But I will say it's an absolute
experience there.
It's a good experience, but they're I'll tell you what though, they tell absolute lies when it comes to their noise levels. Absolute lies.
We also have to be fair, they were bad.
They were, but in criticism,
when they're good, they could be a little louder.
Yeah, and criticism to their stadium though, it's a crystal maze to get to your seat.
Oh, the concourses are too small. It's packed in there. It's the food's bad. the press box is all the way at the very top, and it's like a million degrees below zero. It's not a good stadium. Don't let people tell you that. The experience there is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what I was trying to make. It looks pretty. It looks pretty from the outside. It looks like some of Independence Day, to be fair.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing what Caesars does to renovate it a little bit after they acquired it, but we'll see.
Yeah, but in fairness, though, Kansas was fantastic. I love that. Like, their stadium's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they did it right, and in so long ago. Like, it's an old stadium, but they
never moved. Like, I'm saying used to now, like, if there's any Kansas fans there, I should do listens to this. Don't ever tell your team to move stadium. You've got a fantastic stadium.
The only problem is cold, but like, they've seemed to have figured it out.
Yeah.
They're all used to it. Who knows?
Yeah. It'd probably be the same for Green Bay and stuff like that as well. Like with Lambeau and that. On saying that, are you still planning going to Green Bay?
I am still planning on it. And I probably won't buy my ticket until right before the game. Unless someone wants to gift me one, you know, I'm always accepting offers.
You hear that, folks?
Yes.
Hit Meg up.
Me and Kelsey were a package deal. All right. So that's kind of all I had for us today. And, you know, we had the miniest of mini camps, and that's over. We just kind of are awaiting training camp.
Yeah. It was not really enough to kind of really talk about in terms of football wise, but
just drama.
Yeah. But not long to go till actual training camp, though. So exciting times ahead, folks. Exciting times.
Yes. And if anything happens, you can always check all the social media channels. I am at Meg Murray with 4 R's on Twitter and Instagram. How can the people find you, Paul?
You can find me at I am P Stu at Instagram and Twitter.
Perfect. And you can catch all the happenings around the Dallas Cowboys every day on the Blogging the Boys Network, wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have lots of content for you on bloggingtheboys.com. So be sure to check us out there. And we'll see you guys next week.
See you later, guys. Have a good one. Go Cowboys.